Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
As I mentioned, November 1 was on a church calendar as All Saints Day. Now, we typically don't spend a whole lot of time with it because October 31st, the eve of All Saints Day, is when we celebrate the Reformation. And also, that kind of gets eclipsed by the observance of Halloween. And Halloween, or Holy Evening, you know, the evening before All Saints Day, which is a time, All Saints is a time we remember people that have gone before us in the faith. You know, I think of my parents, my grandparents, who were faithful Christian people, and examples that we can emulate. Now, if you take the word saint and you get a very precise definition of that word saint, it means holy ones, holy people. Not holy because they did all kinds of really great things, but holy because through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the grace that is bestowed that comes from Jesus Christ, their sins have been forgiven, and they are declared to be holy by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so that is really what a saint is. And so actually, you don't have to be dead to be a saint. You can be alive and be a saint. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. When the Apostle Paul writes letters like to the Romans, to the Corinthians, and he starts off by referring to them as saints. You know, this letter to the saints that are in Rome, saints that are in Corinth, people that are holy through Jesus Christ. Now, we're made holy as a gift because somehow in the midst of sin, God has chosen to value us. And if you want to know what your life is worth to you, you have to know what it is worth to God. And so Jesus would often give that point, make that point through parables. And we looked at three parables today, but the first two are the ones I want to emphasize because they parallel each other and they have certain features in common. First of all, if we want to identify the features, the first is that there's something that's lost or unrecognized, unknown, like a field where a treasure is buried, or a pearl that's a very valuable pearl, and it's just sitting there in the marketplace, just waiting for it to be discovered. So someone comes along, discovers what's hidden in the field, knows its value, recognizes the value, and then goes, sells everything that he's got to get it. There's the second parable, which parallels that pearl that is in the marketplace, which is discovered, recognized for what value it has. And as a matter of fact, it is a value that is worth everything that this person holds and possesses, sells it, and then purchases that pearl. So what we typically do as we read this, we interpret it this way, that the treasure, the pearl, well, that's this life with God. That is the service of God. And so that we would willingly give up everything that we have in life in order to possess, you know, these gifts of the kingdom. Now, it's not such a bad thing, but I think that there is a better and a deeper interpretation of that I want to share with you, that if we follow it through, it can literally transform our lives and how we look at ourselves and the sense of validation, deep, fundamental validation in our lives. So for that to happen, we need the Holy Spirit's help. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit that we may understand what our value is to you, so that we may understand our value ourselves, and that we may also value other people. Lord, may this happen by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you got some features in these parables. No, you've got the field, you've got the pearl, you've got the finder, the recognizer of the value and the purchaser. Okay, that's another one. So what's the treasure? What's the pearl? Well, I would submit to you, it's not a what, it's a who. And guess what? I'm looking at pearls and treasures in the field. That's us. That's us. Okay. The finder, obviously, that's God. He finds what was hidden. He recognizes the great value that it has. And then he sacrificially gives up everything that he's got in order to purchase it. That's the interpretation that I think is much more fundamental to this. And let's kind of play it out and see if this thing works for us. Okay, so first of all, could you see yourself as a treasure? Could you see yourself as an extremely valuable pearl? Now, unfortunately, a whole lot of people don't really value themselves all that much, unless they're narcissists, and that's a kind of a personality disorder. So what's this thing about valuing ourselves? Let's think about a buried treasure down in the dirt. Okay, that's a lot like people sometimes, very self-effacing. They try to disguise it as humility, but you know, these are people you can never, ever compliment. They just don't know how to handle a compliment. And then they're always apologetic. They're always feeling, but I'm really coming short. No, it's not really true. I'm not really all that good. Now, where did that all come from? Well, first of all, it comes from the fact that we live in a sin-saturated, broken world that affects everything, every relationship, you know, virtually every aspect of human endeavor and behavior and thought. And so sometimes it's made even worse, like in childhood, where there are ultra-demanding parents that you can never, ever please. You don't get appreciation, affirmation, and bullying peers come along, and sometimes even bullying brothers and sisters, unresolved, tragic kinds of traumas in a person's life, all these inner person killers that come along, which then leads to a low self-regard that people may have. And with that low self-regard, they either kind of try to be buried down deep there, or maybe they go the opposite direction and desperately seek means of validation and approval. Now, we are all human, aren't we? And don't we all want and don't we all need some level of care, support, encouragement, affirmation? Don't we all need to have connections with other people? That's a part of our need. That's how God made people. It's not good for man, even the man, to be alone, to have interaction, to have affirming, loving, positive relationships with other people. But I ran across this a little snippet that a woman had written. She said, "I grew up needing attention and the approval of my father. It was like a drug. I was nothing if he wasn't proud of me and hadn't signed off with a nod anything I was pursuing. Even as an adult meeting some levels of success, I was still referring back to him for validation that I was doing a good job." You know, there are lies that people believe. I don't know if maybe you believe some of these lies too. I'm not really loved. I don't really deserve to be loved. If I am to be loved, I really have to earn it. I have to be a bit better than what I am, maybe a lot better than what I am. So not feeling worthy of love, what do people do? They kind of bury themselves. But what's buried down there is a treasure. It's a treasure. Or is a pearl that's there in the marketplace, desperately a silent cry going out, "Look at me, pick me, pick me. Won't someone notice me, please?" The fact that that is a common thing in human experience is not a surprise, because I'm going to say it again, we live in a broken world. It's a broken condition. So many things out of alignment with the will of God. And when anything is out of alignment with the will of God, it will have devastating effects upon the human personality, the human experience, and condition. But God is the finder. He's the seeker. Well, what can happen in a person's life? In Psalm 32, I'm going to pick up a couple of phrases that at random that are in that psalm. It says, my bones wasted away. My strength was dried up. All of this because of the shame and the guilt that this person, the psalmist, was experiencing. But God sees us in that condition. He's not turned off. He isn't saying, oh man, you're such a mess. I don't want to handle you. But he comes. What's the mission of Jesus? Jesus said it very simply. I came to seek and to save what was lost. You know, the treasure that was buried there, that pearl in the marketplace that nobody really noticed and didn't recognize the value of it. Well, we believe sometimes these lies. We have to be a lot better. We experience sometimes these aspects of human life, but God seeks and he finds. The dirt does not deter him. Even when we're crying out for attention pathetically, he still loves us because he recognizes our value. Now, the question is, what is something worth? How do you know what something is worth? Well, we think of something as having an intrinsic value, but I think there is more a matter of a relative value. And that something is worth what someone is willing to pay for it. You can put a price tag out there, and if no one's willing to pay it, what do? You ever see a real estate sign? Price reduced. They were valuing it too high, you know, and that to get it down to where someone is going to see, oh, it's worth that much. That's what I will pay for it. Wages, you know. Oh, I'm worth, X number of dollars an hour. Well, yeah, if someone is willing to pay for that. But what someone's willing to pay, that is what a person's, a thing's worth is. People often sell themselves short, and they feel unvalidated. They feel sometimes even a bit self-destructive, going dysfunctionally in the kind of downward spiral. And then find themselves trapped, like with alcohol or drugs, and self-sabotage and high-risk kinds of behaviors, living with shame, you know, like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, when they were out of alignment with the will of God, what did they do? They hid. Why did you hide? Well, I was ashamed. I was afraid. And so they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, and that didn't work really well. Low self-regard, perhaps never realizing. You know that there are a lot of people that have no clue how much they're valued by God. That God made them intentionally as a special individual creation. They don't think of themselves in that way. And then don't even have a clue as to what they can be in Jesus Christ. And how much they're valued by God, and therefore, how much they ought to value themselves. And so they go searching for meaning. Sometimes people even can sit in a church and not realize how valuable they are, because all they hear is that part about the law, the condemnation, you've done wrong. Okay, I'll try to do better. I'm sorry, I'm going to try to do better. You know, and that's not the answer, trying to do better. The answer we're going to find is Jesus Christ. But you know, people go after things. They go after cults, for example, and all their fake promises. They go after the self-help gurus, read all the self-help books, and they will go to those Feel Better seminars and now webinars and do all the exercises, try the diets for a little bit, you know, until they self-sabotage again. Looking for success, looking for the elusive answer to find out, yeah, but who am I? Why am I here? What am I worth? And just going on with that question unanswered in their lives. Vulnerable women who let themselves be taken in, giving up their purity way below its value. Oh, what is its value? Its value, the value of their purity, is marriage. Marriage, you know. Yeah, but not until I'm married, okay? to a man who will love her as Christ loved the church. And so often, she'll give herself up and her purity at a fraction of the value, pennies on the dollar. And that is a major issue within our society today. The pearl in the marketplace, won't someone please notice me? A lot of people giving that non-recognizing glance, but only one saw its value. Only one saw its value. In the meantime, people addicted to positive feedback, compliments, encouragement from others, recognition, acceptance from others to find out who they are. And then we're told, well, you have to kind of dig in deep, look deep within yourself, and then find in yourself the resources to have a positive self-regard. And you try it, and you know what? It just doesn't work either. And finally, down to that point, I am no good. My existence has very little purpose or meaning. Why should I exist? Did you know that Satan is a liar? He tells us those lies. Do you know that he is a robber? You know that he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came with one purpose. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And the truth is, the good news is that you can replace that mean voice in your head that says you're worthless. The key person in the parable is Jesus himself. He is the seeker. He is the finder. He is the one who recognizes the value. He is the one then who pays the purchase price, which is ultimately himself. The main point is this, that Jesus is what God is willing to pay for all of us. Amen. That's what he's willing to pay. Himself. Now, regardless of what you think about yourself, you might not think of yourself as of great value. But the truth is that God values you. And that's what matters. And we need to align our thinking with his thinking. Don't you think he's a little bit smarter than what we are? Don't you think he understands us better than we understand ourselves? And he says, you are valuable to me. We could even say, if you want to push it, he values you as much as he valued his own son. Wow. Because you think of Jesus out on that cross, dying there for us, suffering so that we could be forgiven and be free. Now, if God did not value us, then God, the Son, would have remained in that perfect place in heaven in the presence of the angels in all of that splendor and beauty, saying, oh, so they blew it down there. Well, their fault, their problem, let them figure it out. I'm not going to get my hands dirty. But instead, he let his hands get nailed up on the cross. So down in that dirt, or unrecognized in the marketplace, God discovered and wanted us, and then gave every single thing that he had in order to possess us. So valuable are you and I, even in our imperfections, our sin, the dirt that has buried us. God the Son made the ultimate sacrifice and purchased us with his own precious blood and by his innocent suffering and death. Why? That I may be his own and belong to him. Our value, oh, it is not seen in the dollar sign. It is seen in the sign of the cross. That's your value. Anytime you want to know, how much am I valued? How much am I worth? Look at the cross of Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you will know how much you are loved. So, you see what he was willing to do to have you as his own. Has there ever been a greater love for this than this? Is this a love you could ever even dream of trying to earn? Totally impossible. And the whole thing in our relationship with God, it is not how big is your love for him. That's only a very secondary thing. But how much is his love for us? And that is what makes us to be saints. That's what declares us holy, being covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So, just want to walk us through a verse from Romans chapter 5, goes verses 6 to 9, and it starts this way. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for what? Good people? What does it say? What's the word? Ungodly. For the worst of the worst. Oh, you mean the worst of the worst was valuable enough to him that he would die? But pretty soon he's going to connect us to that. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though for a good person, average person would even dare maybe to die. But here's the contrast. God shows his love for, the ungodly, that's us, in that while we were still sinners, alienated, enemies, separated, what did Christ do? He died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Well, if that's true, what do you plan to do with it? Let's think through how we should kind of handle that. And as we do this, we're going to kind of transition into what we call confession, along with what we call absolution or the forgiveness, the declaration of forgiveness of sins. See, let this be a personal time now of connecting yourself to the promises of God and to how he values you, because he's come to bring restoration and healing into your life. If you've been believing the lies, today, this very day, he wants to replace that with truth, permanently truth, that you are incredibly valued. You have no business going around like you're still that down in the field and something that needed to be buried because you were so bad. We recognize while we were still sinners, our shortcomings, our sins. Yeah, we've done a job on ourselves. Sin, that sin nature, alienating us from God, from others, and even from our own selves. And I can't fix it, and I can't expect anybody else to fix it. But there's one who came on the scene to fix it. And you know who that is. That's Jesus. He discovered you. He discovered you, even when you weren't asking to be discovered. He found you. He recognized the value that you would be to him, and then paid a price for you. The price, the cross.